This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. The most iconic James Bond villain is arguably Goldfinger.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
There's this dorky fun fact that the Bond villain, Goldfinger, was actually named after a real person.
That's Truffleman, Avery Truffleman. The real Goldfinger was an architect, Erno Goldfinger, and he made giant, hulking, austere concrete buildings.
Goldfinger's buildings were decreed soulless. Inhabitants claimed to suffer health problems and depression from spending time inside them.
And yet many architects praised Goldfinger's buildings.
This divide, this hatred from the public and love from designers and architects, tends to be the narrative around buildings like Goldfinger's, which is to say, gigantic, imposing buildings made of concrete.
What some people refer to as brutalist architecture.
Brutalist buildings are pretty pervasive throughout the US and Canada.
And a lot of folks, beyond the creator of James Bond, love to hate them.
Absolutely. I mean, it has these connotations of, you know, Soviet era construction, sometimes third world construction.
This is Professor Adrian Forty.
All these negative associations.
As harsh as it looks, concrete is an utterly optimistic building material.
Really, from the 1920s, it was seen as being the material that would change the world.
Concrete was this material that seemed boundless, readily available in vast quantities, and it could create massive spaces unlike any other material. So concrete sprang up everywhere.
It's the second most heavily consumed product in the world.
The only thing we consume more of than concrete is water.
Concrete buildings were erected all over the world as housing projects. Courthouses, schools, churches, hospitals, and city halls.
You'll stand outside and a tour bus will go by and they'll be, "Ladies and gentlemen, voted the most ugliest building in the world, Boston City Hall." How do you compete with that?
Chris Grimley is up against a lot, but he's trying to restore Boston City Hall's reputation.
My name is Chris Grimley. I'm with my fellow heroic people, Mark Pasnick and Michael Kubo.
Chris, Mark, and Michael have embarked on what they call the Heroic Project, chronicling the concrete structures in and around Boston.
Rather than referring to these concrete buildings as brutalist, they prefer the term heroic, because like so many superheroes, these structures have the best, most noble intentions, but are sorely misunderstood.
You have to situate Boston in late 50s, 1960s.
Boston, like a lot of other American cities, was plagued by a loss of manufacturing jobs and white flight to the suburbs. And for decades, Boston had the highest property taxes in the nation and almost no development.
So Boston sets an agenda to make the city great again with big, soaring, capable, thoroughly modern buildings made, of course, out of concrete.
And though some of these buildings were celebrated, others were really not.
What we call the third rail of Boston concrete modernism is City Hall.
When Boston City Hall was built in 1968, critics were put off by this concrete style. It was called alienating and cold. And since it was a government building, this criticism became impossible to remove from politics.
Boston City Hall became a political pawn. Mayors and city council members kept trying to win public support with promises to get rid of the building.
Former Mayor Thomas Menino actually started a study to really look into tearing it down.
It turned out as a result of the study that you would need something like a nuclear-grade weapon basically to destroy this building because it's so heavily overbuilt in concrete.
And so, when they couldn't tear down City Hall, officials chose to ignore it.
People that occupied the building for decades and decades didn't like it, and so they didn't invest money into the building and effectively wanted to see the building go away.
This is called active neglect, and it happens with a lot of concrete buildings. They are intentionally unrepaired, unrenovated, and uncared for.
Which only makes the building more ugly, and then more hated, and then more ignored, and creates this vicious cycle where the public hate of Boston City Hall feeds itself.
And then the discussion years on really became about what the original architects had done wrong, as if this were not a failure of maintenance, but a failure of the initial design.
Concrete architecture now finds itself at a potential inflection point, too outdated to be modern, too young to be classic. And a small but growing band of architects, architecture enthusiasts, and preservationists would like us to just wait a bit and see. Maybe with a little time and love, we might discover some architectural diamonds in the rough that we just can't see right now. 99% Invisible was produced this week by Avery Truffleman, Sam Greenspan, Katie Mingle, Ted Muldoon, and me, Roman Mars. We are a project of KALW. Find out more at 99pi.org.